Welcome to another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we speak with Maureen Freeman, and she shares her stories and experiences of what it's like to help people using psychic gifts. In past interviews, listeners may recall the work of Dr. Joe Slate and Dr. Konstantin Korotkov in measuring intention and studying the human auric field. Past guest Jordan Maxwell was one of the first researchers to go into depth on hidden symbols and logos and their effects on consciousness. Another past guest, Dr. Lynn Hume, author of Portals, Opening Doorways to Other Realities Through the Senses, discussed altered states of consciousness and sensorial anthropology. The altered state is a portal, and to some, time travel. Intuitive advisor and medium Maureen Freeman joins us today to talk about psychic gifts. What are they, and how are they used to help others? Maureen uses her intuitive skills and fine-tuned natural psychic gifts to provide support and guidance for her clients. Maureen, welcome to In Other News.
Thank you very much, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be talking with you.
Well, as a psychic, Maureen, for more than 20 years working with clients and channeling, you've been in touch with a world that most people don't really see. Not only is there no map, but most people don't know the realm exists. Can you tell us how you visualize this unseen world?
Yes. It's pretty interesting, I'll tell you, because there's a variety of ways of being, as I call it, switching channels and being connected to the invisible realms. As a psychic or an intuitive reader, I often hear telepathic messages, which is, for those that don't know, it's like an invisible voice that is speaking with you. I often have visions that are not with my physical eyes, but in my mind's eye, that appear to me as a signal or a sign. And many times, too, you get just a sensation of something. And then after that, there'll be a sequence of things that appear. Do you follow me in what I'm saying?
Kind of, but I'm not psychic, so I really don't know what it's like. I'm just learning about intuition, and based on our past guest, Penny Pierce, who spoke about that voice that is very, very quiet, centered around your heart area, she says that's more than likely your intuitive voice. It's not in your head. So I'm just learning about this area. And for those people who are not psychic or don't really know about this area, it's important to maybe describe it as accurately as possible. So, because a lot of people make fun of this.
Yes, that is true. Now, when you mention intuition, to me, as I would interpret it, and I share this with everybody because we know it as our sixth sense. That's how it's perceived, as our sixth sense, which is the invisible one. To me, it's the voice of our own spirit within. If people understand about the fact that we have access to this invisible voice, and some people have it more finely tuned than others, and some don't even, as you put it, don't even actually know it exists, the more that we talk about it and align with it, the more open we become, because it's like us being energy ourselves, and what we're doing is tapping into different circuits, if you will. So for someone like myself, as being a psychic or an intuitive reader, I take it as a gift. That's how I see it. At some times I felt like it's been a hindrance in a way, but I really do see it as a gift that I'm able to tap into other messages and energies to be positive for not just myself, for others. Some psychics that I know of find it very difficult to switch it off, so it can be difficult to do that. But for myself, speaking from my own experience, what I had to do is recognize initially that not everybody sees and hears what I do. So you feel different, you know, than others, and to the point where you actually wonder if you are a bit of a misfit here, because you think that everybody else is the same, but you discover you're not. And I found that out at a very young age because I had premonitions as a child. I had experiences and premonitions as a teenager, as well as experiencing astral projection and many different things like that.
Do you recognize other psychics in the room? For example, can you tell if another person is psychic just by looking at them?
I have to say yes. I wouldn't say I always have, but, you know, because this is the work I do, and it's like anything, the more you do it, the more you become an expert at it, or it becomes simpler to you to recognize things. So when you say that with other psychics or just people in general, when I tune into them and I sense their energy, I can definitely gauge whether they have a very expanded consciousness or psychic abilities. And oftentimes I will say that to people and they say, well, I thought I did, but I wasn't sure. And then, you know, we can unfold the reading into that because you can give them examples and say, well, I can sense that you sense people's energies and you pick up on people's thoughts and that kind of thing. And they'll go, oh, yes, I do. So that shows right there that you're linked in or you have touched upon or connected on that level.
What about if you're in a room and you can hear somebody speaking to you telepathically? Has that happened?
For me, I have at a very, I have to say again, young age, I recognized that I had to learn to be able to switch that off. So, and only use it when I'm meant to. So from my own experience, Jeff, I can't say that I walk into a room and I just hear a bunch of chatter and I can tell what everybody's thinking or whatever. I really do switch it off because it can be overwhelming. I do know other psychics. I do know other intuitive people that find that difficult. And as I put to them, it's like an art. You have to be able to find your ways of knowing when you do receive messages that what are you meant to do with them? That's another thing. You just don't. It's discerning as to how you deliver the messages, the information that comes in. You need to use it with integrity. In our society, a lot of our, as you put it earlier on, that some people just think this is all crazy and they don't understand it. And yet there's another, if you want to call it, opening and kind of movement that people are finally recognizing that this isn't just crazy things. It really, there's truth to it that can be of value.
So the chatter, I can understand you have to turn off that ability if you're hearing other people's thoughts. However, if that's turned off, but somebody is transmitting to you who has a telepathic or psychic ability and is basically knocking, is ringing the doorbell and could be in the room or may not be in the room, has that happened to you?
Oh, definitely, yes. And in fact, and even in many, it's sort of in day-to-day ways that can be that, for instance, giving you an example, I may be just doing my dishes or doing something average in your day-to-day life, and I just get this wave. It's like a wave that comes through me that I pick up, so-and-so's going to call me, and sure enough, the phone rings and it's them. Or I do it the other way around. I often do it with clients, actually. I pick up on them before they contact me. And in a case like that, it's like always having, as I word it, it's my work, I always have my antennas out to be able to receive. The trick is, though, is what do you do with it when you receive it? And that's for all of us, that we need to be able to recognize whether we're meant to do something with the information coming through or not. As an example, if I'm doing something and I suddenly receive a message or I sense that there's like a death, there's somebody's not well or something, and I get who it is and it's maybe right immediate in my own family, and I listen and I think, okay, now, I've received that, but what am I meant to do with it? I don't have to quickly rush to everybody and blurt it out. there's integrity involved in all of this. So you have to stop and recognize and ask those questions within yourself. What are you meant to do? Often I hear, it's just for you right now. You'll know when you're meant to do something. That's how direct it can be.
That's very direct. Now, speaking of accidents and trauma and things like that, you had mentioned earlier in a private conversation a very interesting story about an individual that you worked with at Bouchard Gardens in Victoria, British Columbia. Can you tell that story? It's a really good example.
Yeah. Well, the story that I'm about to tell is, to me, the proof I needed to know that there's something more than what meets our eyes here. And what happened was, I worked at, as you put it, at Bouchard Gardens. To shorten the story a bit, I worked with a fellow, his name was Greg, and he worked outside. It's a garden that people come and walk around to visit. And I worked there in the day, and I was also a dancer, so I performed in the shows in the evening. They had an outdoor stage, and I performed in that. And that one night I was heading there from my home. I was driving out there to go and do the show, and I kept feeling very uncomfortable, and I was sort of in feeling like something was going to happen, and I didn't know what, and I kept thinking, okay, what would it be? Maybe there's somebody in the audience that's important and it's going to make a difference to us, whatever. But anyway, after I did the show, I still had this strange kind of anxious feeling. And then all of a sudden, I got this wave of my friend Greg, and I just felt inside, and I heard a voice say, you need to kiss him goodbye. And I thought, good Lord, that's crazy. What a crazy thought, because he wasn't my boyfriend. He was a good friend, but it just didn't sound right for me to do that. But I had this sense of urgency. So as I was leaving, I came upon where he was. I pulled my car over, and he leaned in, and I said, this sounds very crazy, but I just feel like I'm meant to kiss you goodbye. And I felt very, you know, I thought, oh, my Lord, what am I doing? And he said, oh, well, that's okay. And he said, wouldn't you like to come out for a drink tonight? And I said, no, I can't. I need to be back at work in the morning early, so it doesn't work for me tonight. Maybe another night. And he said, so we leaned in and he kissed me. And I said, oh, I feel really strange about this. I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you. And he said, no, it's fine. I'll see you later. Drive safe or something. So the next day I went to my job, and in the afternoon, because it's open long hours, they have an afternoon shift of people coming on. And we were just waiting for them to come in. And one of the other supervisors I worked with had a phone call. So he came, he went and took it. He came back and he looked like he was going to faint. And he was white as a ghost. And I looked at him and I said, what's wrong? Are you okay? And he said, no. And I had to actually hold him up because he looked like he was going to faint. And he said, Greg has been killed in a car accident. And I just went, oh, my God. Well, then all of a sudden I realized why I had to go and find him to kiss him goodbye. We were all in our early 20s, so it wasn't like we expected that, you know, someone was sick or, you know, whatever. I never, ever suspected that it was to do with his death. So even though the shock was there to me, I obviously received some kind of message that I wasn't going to see him again. So that was a very profound experience. Now, what follows and what happened to me after that in connection with him was the real proof to me about life after. Shall I tell you some stories about that?
I think so. I suspect there are others out there that might be going through something similar.
Yes, and you know what I found, Jeff, is the more I share my own stories of my own experiences that have happened throughout my life, the more it allows others and gives other people permission to be able to open up about their own experiences and not feel uncomfortable or thinking that they're crazy. And I've had that happen throughout my life in the storytelling, but also in the readings I do, because I do share a lot of personal experiences that enables them to do that. So people, I've had men and women that are in their 80s that will tell me a story of some experience they had that is paranormal. And they'll say to me, I've never told anybody in my life until now, and it feels so good to let it out. So it's very true. So for me, after his death, and everybody was so upset because he was a very, very lovely young man, and everybody enjoyed his company. He was a lot of fun and just good energy. I would say it was probably a couple of days later, I had to do the show like I did in the evenings and come home. It was Monday to Friday that I would do this. And I came home and I was tired, and I was obviously still shaken and upset about his death. But I was lying in my bed and I was almost asleep, and I was very tired because I'd worked in the day and then I'd done that show at night. And I was lying there and I was not asleep. I know I wasn't asleep and it wasn't a dream, but I was just closed my eyes lying there. And all of a sudden, it was like somebody was in the room and grabbed my hands and pulled me up like a force and said, come with me. And I heard this telepathic voice, come with me, you've got to see where I am. And as I say, I'm sitting bolt upright, and no one, of course, was in the room. And I even called out, and I said, I can't come with you right now. I can't do that. And I sat there, and I thought, I just felt like I'd been drained because of the shock of it. And it did, I have to admit, it did scare me at the time, but this happened probably two or three times. And then another experience I had was just a recall of being asleep, waking up when you're still sort of half asleep, half awake, and recognizing that I had been on this journey. And all I can tell you, and again, from my own experience, I felt like I'd been flying. And I was with him, and he was showing me the dimension he was in. And he kept saying to me, don't ever think that there's nothing else. This is what there is. And if you said to me right now, what did it look like? I just remember great beauty and freedom and really like I was flying. And he said, you can practically do anything you want here.
Maureen, I am going to ask you to describe what you think dimensions are, but continue, please, with your story.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you see visions of, quote, heaven, beautiful and open space and white energy, there was a lot of white energy around, and it just seemed pure. It was more about the feeling of it rather than, I would say, a vision from our visual, you know, our eyes. It was a feeling of purity, and it was a feeling of great beauty, and it just had this immense energy of love. That's how it felt. So after that experience, it changed, and I'm trying to recall the very first time. Well, I'll add one other part of this, because this other component really is important to this story. After those couple of experiences, I thought, you know, I have to check in on this and see if I could find someone and go to somebody that is a clairvoyant or a clairaudient, someone that's a psychic, that would be able to pick up on all of this without me saying anything. So someone gave me the name of a woman who is an elderly woman, probably 75, and she was called a clairvoyant and clairaudient, which means she can see energies and she can sense them. So I made an appointment with her, and the person that told me about her said, you know, she's in a wheelchair, but when she kind of goes into a bit of a trance when she does this. And so not to be afraid of her, but it looks kind of strange at first because she sort of goes into a bit of contortions. And I thought, okay, I can handle that. Fine. So she greeted me at the door, and she was in a wheelchair. But when she was took me into a room to do the reading, she did go into a bit of a trance, but She immediately looked at me and said, "My dear, do you realize that you have someone with you?" And I said, "Do I?" And I didn't give her any information. I just said, "Do I?" And she said, "Yes. He's tall, he has blonde hair, and he has the most beautiful smile." Well, this is what this fellow was known for, is his beautiful smile. And she proceeded to tell me that he needs to prove to you that there is life after, and that's why he's been around you, and that's why he's tried to take you to where he is. And I had told her nothing. She didn't know anything about me except for my name.
Is that true, that you needed proof?
It was true into me, and it was true in my heart of hearts, I have to say. But being something new, and I think, I wanted to have verification rather than it say that I needed to know it was real. It was more of a verification. It was like a backup. And when she said that to me, I knew my experiences were definitely real, if you will. And she proceeded to tell me more. She said he was in an accident. She said, which is true, he was in a car accident, and that he had died very quickly, and it was painless. And apparently that was so. I mean, as much as they could tell, but the way that it happened. But after that, I had experiences with him that he would be next to me rather than trying to take me to spirit world. He was often walking beside me, and I could hear him. And I didn't really realize how profound this was until many years later, because I didn't really tell anybody other than maybe two people that I knew that wouldn't think I was crazy. But what happened was I would be walking along, just doing something like downtown, going to a store. I could feel him on my right side, but he wouldn't be right next to me, just be slightly behind me. And I would hear his voice and make comments. And it was as real as if he was actually there. That's how real it was. What I did for myself is I bought a number of different books, because this was opening a whole different realm for me. So even though they weren't common books to find in most stores, there were a couple that where I live that they had a book on astral travel. There was a book on death and life after, and many of the things that they described were my experiences. So once again, it just supported me in recognizing what I was experiencing. Now, as an example, again, of what happens, say, you know, with somebody, if they're around you all the time, it doesn't mean they're with you every second of the day and everything you're doing, but I was there a lot of times. And I moved from Victoria for a few months to London, England. And I was really curious to see if I would have the experiences over there. And sure enough, I did. I would still feel him making comments to me, walking with me. As an example, I remember sitting in a friend's room in London, and they had some of the, the crazy shows that they'd have on that are like on the buses or these funny comedy shows. And I was sitting in a chair watching it with this friend, and there was an empty chair there, and all of a sudden I heard laughter, his laughter coming from that chair, as if he was just totally physically in the room with us watching the show and laughing at the show.
After a while, did you feel that it was too much and you wanted to be left alone, or were you comfortable with it?
That's a good question. I'm trying to remember back, because this was in the late 70s, that early 80s, late 70s, early 80s that this happened. Because it wasn't always, I have to say, I must say I was fascinated and I was comforted by it. Now, some people would say maybe it was your imagination because you wanted to be comforted. The only thing I can answer to that is I could decipher between that and this experience. This experience was real to me. Now, did I? What happened was actually after a little time, it wouldn't be as frequent. And so in some ways you feel a bit lonely or something and wondering, oh dear, are they never going to visit again? And it gradually dissipated, but would come into view at times. But it's, and this is a sort of a new part of it, is because I was so fascinated, and I must say, I've always been fascinated with the cycle of life and death, and is there something else out there, and even beyond spirit world, other dimensions and other life on other planets and whatever. I just started to try to tune in more myself and be more aware. And so there were phases, say when I was in my 20s, where I wouldn't have much experience at all because I had other things going on in my life that I felt I gathered were just, I was meant to have that experience, focusing on my career or on family or something. And it came back more again, I would say, in the late 80s when I started to get into it again in another way because of other experiences I'd had and through meditations and things like that. I would have him show up again.
Oh, yeah. To this day, is he coming around in the spirit world?
I was thinking about this before you called me, and I have to say in this last couple of years, I don't. But before that, I think a lot of it is just because it's I must have to word it this way. Sometimes what happens is, and this is just from doing medium work for clients and listening to the messages from Spirit World, what they say is that they also have their missions and they have things to do too. So sometimes they won't be visiting or they won't show up because they're out of range, if you will. It's sort of like being on a cell phone. You know, when you go to certain areas and they'll say, you can't communicate because it's you're in the wrong area or the circuits don't work or something. That's about the best way I can describe it, is that they also have things they're doing, if you will, missions, and it's not always focused on connecting with us. So oftentimes they will be out of range and then they'll come back again. I'm still very open that could happen, you know, any time, because in the work I do and the different people that I communicate with, and I have some regular clients that will have loved ones come through from Spirit World to get them messages, and then other times they won't be there at all. And then the next time they come, they'll be back again.
Maureen, have you ever had an experience where there was something negative coming through or something that is maybe not welcome or has a malevolent presence and it's pretending to be something else?
I personally have not had that experience. And many people ask me that because, you know, even with channeling, if they say, if you channeled some horrible energy or that was clung on to you or did something to you, what would happen then? And the only thing I can say is that I honestly have never had a bad or negative energy come through. Now, is that because I don't allow it to? I learned at a very young age to block out and protect myself. Even though I'm sensitive, I wouldn't say I'm as ultra sensitive as some other people I come across that might have that happen. But for me, I word it too, that I always say that I only welcome energies to come to me that are the highest and best for me or those that I'm involved with. And same with if I'm going to try to tune into any kind of group energies or any other energies that people have asked me about, I just perceive myself as a messenger to help people with this gift. So I only welcome energies for the highest and best that are, I guess you call good energies, high frequencies, helpful entities.
Our guest is Maureen Freeman. She's a psychic, intuitive, and advisor. We'll be right back after this break. We'll be right back. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Maureen Freeman about the unseen world visible to psychics. Now, you mentioned that you've been asked by the police to help with solving cases of missing people or murders. And in that area, it's not your forte. Can you explain why?
Yeah, you know, I have tuned into different missing people and had visions of scenes where they are and helped out on a certain level. But I have to say what I've noticed, and this is something that is really important for anyone listening that does get this kind of, you know, has a gift to be able to help. What I recognized is that I found it very hard to be emotionally detached from it. And so I recognized that if I was reacting and my own being is being affected by maybe it's a very grueling story, how it happened, or like a murder or different accidents that happen or anything, like probably murders like that. It totally affected me. So I recognized that it felt to me that it wasn't something that I was to do because I couldn't detach properly. And it wasn't easy to do. What I would say as a forte, when I'm able to tune into somebody on a soul level and be able to describe to them what I see and what I sense, what I feel, and even getting messages from people from spirit world, it's very effortless. Does that make sense?
It does. It actually does. So this puts you in an area where your abilities are best used when working with people in the context of their own personal journeys and their soul and their spirit. Can you describe that a bit?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because that's what I feel like. If you said to me, what is your passion about having these abilities, it thrills me to be able to help somebody recognize and tune into their gifts and talents and who they are on a soul level, and be able to give guidance or encouragement to live their life to the fullest from that place. And in some ways, it is a bit like counseling, but because even though, as I always say to people, we're all the same, we're made up of the same stuff, we're still completely different. And our journeys are very unique unto us and who we're involved with. So I guess one of the best things that we could do to help ourselves is to not compare ourselves to other people. But when with myself, what I find that I'm able to do is be able to see the soul level. And some people are easier to see that than others, because some people are shy and they don't want to be able to be exposed. But there's a big difference between a reading for somebody that's very open and they feel pretty confident, they understand that they're a soul with they have a soul that's here and having a body to do their earth walk, as I put it. Others that are a bit more skeptical and they're not sure about the soul and the spirit and does it exist and what are we doing here and all of that. Their energy is a little bit more, I guess, confined, I would call it, more narrow. So when I can recognize something on a soul level and they react to it and they go, oh, I kind of thought that myself, but I wasn't sure. And a lot of that is, too, because they think things. We think things and we analyze things, you know. So even with somebody that maybe not be so open, when you've done a reading for them and you tap into some gifts and talents and certain aspects of their soul and that they're here to help promote peace or they're here to express and motivate people and inspire people and that kind of thing through their gifts, and you see somebody actually shift within themselves from recognizing that they do have something to be here for, that's very rewarding for them, and it is for me too. So I feel like that's really what I'm here for, is to kind of help people, to activate them, to give them a bit of guidance, to also what I'm recognizing now, because this kind of takes us to another realm, in the changing world that we're in and the way things are shifting and just the discoveries that are happening, and there's sort of this kind of new age movement, I guess you want to call it, and opening up even to something different, there's many, many people that are, I guess I want to say, waking up to the fact that the potential they have, and that we can kind of be self-empowered, and we can make our choices from within ourselves rather than being dragged around and told this is the way it is. And so I think within this movement and the way things are happening, lots of people that I tend to do, have they either contact me about it or do readings for, are having very unique experiences of their own of communication or seeing things like colors and spirits and orbs and some UFOs, some, you know, visitations, all sorts of things going on. And because I've experienced a lot myself, that's where I can kind of help them or support them in that way as to what it is that's happening with them.
We've had some past guests on to criticize the New Age movement, but I think what you're talking about is a particular awareness building among certain people that they're starting to see beyond the tangible materialistic realm.
The 3D world, right.
And
yeah.
Whatever that might be, it's still a mystery for some people. And myself, I always urge caution because I feel that there's still deception in that area, especially with you're seeing entities or hearing voices or something is speaking to you. And they're saying everything's fine, everything's okay, and it might not be. So you have to you have to really use your intuition, and it could be very challenging to some.
That's very true, and you know what I've noticed, it's what we're doing is when something resonates with you, even that it isn't the truth, right? Or maybe I shouldn't say the truth, but something. Say for instance, you yourself, Jeff, have gone. Somewhere where you live, and you're walking down the street, and you just get this strange feeling that, you know, something isn't right. I shouldn't be going this way. And yet it looks okay, you know, but you're feeling that. But it's like something inside's alerting you to not do this, go a different way or whatever. That, to me, is something to pay attention to because it is like, again, intuition or protection. And I think what we all need to be able to find, and this is what I say or help people with in classes or even in readings and that, to find your indicator that is the one that really gives you the message that you're on the right track or you should do this or not do this or there's truth to this message or not. And for myself, I have my left palm aches when I'm on track about something. This is what... It has happened to me. It hasn't always been. It used to be something else. But right now, it's when I'm, say, talking to somebody about something and I'm leading into, you know, helping them with whatever question that they had for me and my hand starts to ache. I know that this is okay. I'm on the right direction. Let's keep going with this and see where it unfolds. So I call it my indicator. My husband jokes and asks me whether it's either incoming information or I've got arthritis. But for me, it is. It's incoming information or I'm on track about something.
Maureen, I wanted to go into another area. Can you explain, based on your research, why traumatic experiences such as near death, car accidents, illness, could bring someone to seeing the spirit realm or being tuned into more paranormal events?
Yeah. Sort of like they suddenly have been tapped into something. Like, when I see that, and I know people because I've had a number of people come to me that had no psychic abilities. They didn't even think about intuition. They didn't really care or had no interest in paranormal or spirit world or other planets or whatever beforehand. And they've had an experience where it's altered them, and all of a sudden now they can hear voices. They're sensitive to everything. They find they can't eat certain foods. They have to their body's so sensitive, they can't be around bright light or noise, and they see spirits and they hear voices and they have other things happen. And you sort of go, okay, well, what would this be? What I sense it is, because it's traumatic or it's intense, it's almost like they've been jolted or shifted, and all of a sudden you're plugged into a different circuit. And so, or it's expanded you, and or another wording is upgraded you, and so all of a sudden you have access to other information. I can think of as an example, two that come to mind. This one fellow I knew of, he was very distressed. He found this dimension very, I guess, intense and uncomfortable because he couldn't understand why people can't just be nice to each other, and which is a good question, but just found it too much, too hard, too intense. And he was at a party one night, and I guess drinking and doing whatever, partying, and he decided that he'd had enough, and he jumped off the balcony of the apartment that he was at this party. And he thought, this is good. I can just crash and I'll die. This is a good way to go. I've been partying and that's it. Well, what happened was, is as he jumped, his foot got caught on the balcony rail, and he fell. I think what it was is it wasn't that next like the balcony was on. It was maybe two down. But his foot got caught, and he got slammed into the building, and I believe broke a number of bones and that, but he didn't kill himself. He didn't. His wish didn't come true that he thought he was leaving. And so once he recovered and became conscious, all of a sudden all these circuits were open. He could sense things. He could see things. He could read people. He had premonitions. He had visitations. He had all sorts of things go on. That scared him, of course, initially, but it was almost like, okay, you don't think that you have anything to be here for. Well, here you go. This is what you need to be here for these reasons. And he ended up, you know, becoming a counselor and a reader for people himself. So that's one example of someone not believing in anything. And then suddenly another one, a woman that I know was at work, and she was going up in the elevator to the sixth floor. And it was just coming to the top there when all of a sudden something happened to the elevator and it dropped, and she was in it by herself. And so that just the impact of it just dropped down to the first floor of the basement. And she just fell, and she said it was just terrifying. Once they rescued her from it, and she sort of came to, and the initial shock had left her, the same thing happened. All of a sudden, she's extremely sensitive to everything. And she said that she could, hear voices, to hear people talking to her, having these experiences, having angels come to her, knowing what people were going to say, just the same thing. So those both, to me, I guess the best word is to say they were jolted. They were really jolted to have that happen. You mentioned to me that you had a couple of friends that were in car accidents and had abilities to see different things after that too. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. I have two friends who, you know, they both had their hip dislocated in car accidents, and one many, many years ago, and another only just a few years ago, but they both have an ability to see UFOs.
And yet they didn't before.
Not really. They're able to just point them out in the sky as we're standing there on the sidewalk talking. And I find that really interesting. That's a very powerful ability because it's way, way up there and you can barely see it. So it's not like it caught their eye. It's more...
Right. Almost like they are zeroed into it, almost like there's a communication from there to say, look, we're here.
Yes.
Rather than them gazing and looking for it.
Totally.
There's a big difference.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's a big difference. So, I've seen that ability, and I suspect that the trauma could have had something to do with it, and based on your stories as well. And I would, you know, if we were taking phone calls and we asked listeners to call in to give their story about a traumatic experience and what had happened afterward, I think we would fill the lines with those stories.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe
I agree with you.
Now, you talked about that experience with Greg where he was telling you what it was like in the spirit world, and you talked about dimensions, and that is a very interesting area for me because I hear about it a lot. You hear about different dimensions, or you hear about entities in different dimensions, or they're up to 11 dimensions. Well, I don't really know what that would look like or what it does look like and how it's structured. Did you get a sense of what that might look like at all?
Well, all I can say from my own experience, like I know some people purposely journey to be able to go into different dimensions and check them out. And I always think of when I say that, I always think of Stuart Wilde, who you know of and have spoken with, I believe. I always think of in his writings or even his talking to him in person and stories that he would tell, that he would describe these kind of really demonic dimensions that he's explored, or ones that very low energies and all of that. And he did it purposely because he wanted to know, you know, what all of them were about and feeling it. For myself, I've never really kind of just gone, okay, I would like to just go and journey into one of those dimensions, because to be honest with you, I don't have any interest in it. You know, what I've done is the ones that I tune into have come, I have to say, it's sort of like you're saying about your friends having the UFOs connect. I'm open, and I just say whatever dimensional energies that would be for the highest and best for me or those that I am in touch with, I welcome you to communicate with me if you can be of value or be of any service. That's how I word it. So in some ways, I guess I'm protecting myself not to get it. I can't say I do have people that say to me, oh, these weird energies came to me, but I've never had that happen. Whether I'm just not meant to or whether I've protected myself, I really don't know the answer to that. But the ones that have come to me, like I'll give you an example. I have a really strong connection with nature. And I love being outdoors. I love being in nature. I worked in a garden for 20-something years at Butchart Gardens here in Victoria, which is just a gorgeous array of many, many different kinds of plants, trees, etc. And since doing what I do, I've really noticed the stronger connection that I have to the point where I actually can hear them speaking to me. Which I know, again, sounds very crazy to some people. But, you know, if you went outside and just leaned against a tree, for instance, and I've experimented with all of this, with all different kinds of trees, and just leaned against the tree and felt its energy and became one with it, if you will, and tuned into it, it's just amazing how you feel and the energy that you get from it. And if you go from one tree to the next, like if I put my hand just on the trunk of a tree, like an apple tree, and felt the vibration of that, and then gone to, say, a big redwood tree and felt the vibration of that one, gone to another one and felt that vibration, they're all different, just like us. So what I was going to say from it is doing that with flowers as well, different from one flower to the next. But there's a whole, and many people think it's just folklore, but the whole thing about the divas, the nature divas, or the elementals, as some call them, in Irish folklore or other ones as well, with the leprechauns, or to me, and this is again just from my own experience, they definitely exist. And it's a realm of the elementals, as we say.
So in terms of the invisible dimensions, I suspect that there's a connection there as well. There's very possibly a connection there. I wanted to get to a couple more things. We've done some shows on ley lines and energy lines, and I wondered, you were talking about flying and dreams and this. I wondered if when people are astral traveling, that they could be traveling along these ley lines, these energy lines on the planet.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that, I thought, that's very interesting. And I would say, you know, I'm sure there's some connection there. I can't say that in my own experience that I've ever felt that or had that. And going back to even astral projection, I had that happen a lot when I was a teenager and maybe in my 20s, but then it disappeared. It kind of went away. Now it doesn't feel that is as prominent. It's more about just on a invisible realm of that connection, that there's a difference there. So I'm not sure about that with the ley lines, but it's an interesting question.
Yeah, I thought I'd run that by you just in case something might come up. Well, listen, you had attended some of Stuart Wilde's workshops. Can you tell us what that was like?
Yes, I attended two different ones that he held in New Mexico, in a place called Taos, New Mexico. One of them was called Warrior's Wisdom, and the other was called Warriors in the Mist. And to kind of put them in explain it quickly, the Warrior's Wisdom was kind of a masculine energy, and the other was the feminine energy. The way that the synchronicities of the different experiences you had with the different events and exercises you did in each of them were to help you shift your own energy and build your energy and sort of upgrade yourself and kind of tune into higher energies and build on that to actually have a unique experiences, like a lot of the stuff we've talked about. So, for instance, some of them were to help you face fears and to let go of fears that you have. Each day they did different exercises that would build the energy. So what happened is they were week long where you would do things like, as an example for myself, I have a fear of heights. I really don't like being on a ladder. I don't like looking over if I'm on a boat, looking over the edge in the water, climbing up high places. One of the things that we had to do, and it was always our choice, right? You didn't force us to do it. But one of the exercises was to actually climb a tree, and at the very top of it, they placed a little platform that was very small, just enough for you to stand tall. And this, the tree that, it was up in a mountain that we were in. It was a ski resort. It was in the summertime, though. If you had the strength to be able to climb up that tree, you had a safety belt on you, and that, you know, if you fell, they'd be able to catch you, hopefully, as you're going up. But to go up that tree and then step up onto that platform, which there was nothing to hold on to step up on it, and then realize that you're up there, you've got to come down. You had to jump and hope that the person that was at the safety, on the safety line, was going to let you land carefully. So I would never have dreamt in a million years I could do this. I would not at all. Luckily, I was in good physical strength or shape that I had the strength to be able to do it. But even when I look back on it now, I don't know how I climbed up that tree. I wasn't in that good shape, and I'd never, ever climbed up a tree before. So I recall this one fellow, and this links in again with the thing I said about nature. This one fellow that worked for him, he looked at me and he said, "Are you going to do it?" And I said, "I'm going to try, yeah." And he said, "Let me give you just a little tidbit of information that'll help you." He said, "When you start climbing, be one with the tree. Tune into the tree's energy and be one with it, and I'll make it simpler." And it was so true. It just amazed me, because as I did it and got to the top, I remember thinking, "Oh my God, don't think, because what have I done? I'm way up here. I've got to jump out of that tree." And I thought, I'm going to have a heart attack or something. You know, so quit thinking and just remember what he said to me and enjoy the moment being up here. So I did the whole thing. But when I landed and then I sort of connected and thought, what did I do? And I looked up at that tree and how high it was and everything I did. I still, to this day, I can't believe I did it. But I had built that energy up from all the other things that we've done to tune into that tree and allow it to help me get up there. And what you're doing is you're sort of creating a different vibration and you're having support from a different place. So it's like, again, talking about the invisible. And there's so much energy that we can utilize and that we have access to that's free. But the truth of it is to use it wisely and to do it for the highest and best, not for any other kind of manipulation. But that's what got me through that, was being able to recognize that. So that was an example of sort of the masculine energy and getting rid of fears and all that. And then the other one was doing things that, like meditation, movement, vision quests. They did sweat lodges, different things to alter your energy, raise your vibration, and to remove any illusions and fear that you might have around certain aspects of your life.
It must have been kind of cool to work with Stuart Wilde, the late Stuart Wilde. He's been a guest on the show, and he's helped fundraise for the Pacifica radio stations.
Very much. I felt very honored that I met him because he's helped immensely so many people, and very sad that he's not with us anymore, but I really believe that he's doing other things to help us on the other side.
Imagine what he's doing over there.
Well, he was an extremely adventurous man in this dimension. So, you know, where he is now, I'm sure he's having a wonderful time delving into even more than he could have here. But I really have to say, I believe in my heart of hearts that his passing, because he was only 66 years old and in good shape and had such a, you know, vivacious energy for life and everything, I really believe that, you know, his passing is to do something from the other side. And, you know, everybody can still tune into him and really carry on his information that he has passed on. I must say he was one of the ones, his book Miracles was one of the very first books that I read that resonated with me and spoke the language that I understood. That's when I realized, hey, I get it. There's somebody out here that speaks the language that I know.
That's really great.
So I will always honor that. And he was a wonderful, wonderful man for sure.
Well, Maureen Freeman, you're also known as Sage. You're an intuitive advisor, medium, and channeler. You've been working with people. You do individual and group readings and sessions, and you write articles and columns. Title of your article is A Messenger's Message, and that's in the paper Eagle Eye One. Can you tell listeners what your website is if they want to get in touch with you?
Yes, it's www.amessengersmessage.com.
Maureen Freeman, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on In Other News. It's been a wonderful interview.
Well, I thank you so much for inviting me, Jeff. I really enjoyed it, and perhaps we'll do it again one day. And take care, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
You bet. That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again on Dark Matter Radio.